Have you ever noticed how quickly you start wanting something after seeing someone else enjoy it? That martini your friend ordered suddenly looks appealing, or the restaurant with the line outside becomes irresistible. These aren't coincidences. They're evidence of mimetic desire, a profound insight from philosopher René Girard that entrepreneur Luke Burgess brings to life in Wanting. This concept reveals that most of our desires aren't authentically ours, but borrowed from others. From the moment we're born, we're wired to imitate. Babies just 42 minutes old can copy facial expressions, showing an innate understanding that they're like the humans before them. This imitative capacity evolves from innocent childhood behaviors into complex adult patterns that shape our major life decisions, career paths, relationships, even the neighborhoods we choose to live in. What begins as spontaneously changing a drink order after hearing your friend's choice transforms into deeper patterns affecting your entire life trajectory, often without you realizing it. Our desires are shaped by two distinct categories of models. In celebritistan live distant figures who influence us from afar, celebrities, historical figures, or people separated by significant social barriers. We freely admit to imitating these external models because direct competition is impossible. The CEO might inspire an entry-level employee precisely because they occupy different worlds. Most of us now live primarily in freshmanistan, where our models are peers, colleagues, and friends, people with whom we directly compete. This proximity creates a paradox. We hide our admiration for these internal models while secretly wanting what they have. Social media has dramatically expanded freshmanistan, creating an environment where everyone's desires are constantly displayed and available for imitation. The result is a landscape where we're increasingly influenced by others while remaining convinced our desires are uniquely our own. This creates distortions. We exaggerate our model's qualities, rely excessively on experts to determine what's worth wanting, and participate in systems where perception alters reality through changed behavior. Mimetic desire creates two distinct societal cycles. The destructive default cycle generates tension as competing desires clash. Tony Hsieh's Downtown Project in Las Vegas exemplifies this. While aiming to extend Zappos' happiness culture, it inadvertently triggered hidden mimetic rivalries through holacracy, resulting in 3 entrepreneur suicides within 2 years. People began measuring their happiness comparatively, creating what C.S. Lewis called the inner ring phenomenon, the desperate desire to belong to an exclusive group. However, mimetic desire can also fuel positive innovation cycles. When Ferrari suggested Ferruccio Lamborghini stick to tractors rather than sports cars, Lamborghini responded by establishing his company near Ferrari's, initiating one of automotive history's most productive rivalries. The key difference? Lamborghini channeled mimetic energy into creation rather than destruction, even prohibiting racing participation in his company charter to prevent destructive competition. When mimetic crises intensify, communities turn to scapegoating to restore order. Throughout history, during social instability, groups instinctively blame outsiders who typically stand out due to physical differences, social marginality, or vulnerability. This process transforms ordinary community members into monstrous outsiders who must be eliminated for social cohesion. Ancient stoning demonstrates this dynamic. The first stone is uniquely difficult to throw without a mimetic model, but once that threshold is crossed, subsequent stones become easier, as each thrower provides permission for the next. Modern society hasn't eliminated scapegoating, but ritualized it through more acceptable forms. Firing executives during corporate crises, mass incarceration of marginalized groups, and social media cancellations that destroy reputations instead of bodies. Even corporate restructuring follows this pattern, with sacrificial layoffs meant to appease shareholders. While fundamentally unjust, this system effectively stabilized early societies by channeling destructive mimetic energy towards single targets, rather than allowing all-against-all conflict.
To navigate mimetic desire effectively, we must recognize the systems shaping our wants across industries, schools, workplaces, and families. Without awareness, these systems control us. A ranked hierarchy of values serves as our defense against mimetic conformity. During crises, like the toilet paper panic during COVID-19, people without clear value rankings defaulted to immediate personal concerns over collective good. Simply listing values isn't enough. They must be explicitly ranked and regularly revisited. When all values hold equal importance, nothing is truly valued, like highlighting every word in a book, rendering the emphasis meaningless. To protect ourselves from unhealthy models influencing our desires, we need strategic boundaries. For those former classmates or influencers whose lives we obsessively track, implement graduated distance. Unfollow them on social platforms, stop asking about them, and gradually extend time between check-ins. This creates space for authentic desires to emerge. Consider Sebastian Bras, head chef at the 3-Michelin-starred restaurant Le Souk in France. Despite the immense prestige of Michelin stars, Bras felt increasingly constrained by the expectations of maintaining this elite status. The system had evolved beyond culinary excellence, demanding extensive complimentary services that forced chefs to become hotel operators rather than focus on their passion. In 2017, Bras made an unprecedented decision. He returned his 3 Michelin stars and withdrew from the guide entirely. "I want to give a new meaning to my life and redefine what is essential," he declared. When asked about his experience the following year, Bras simply responded, "Parfait, perfect." He had rediscovered quality time with family, felt unburdened from constant evaluation, and reclaimed his creative freedom in the kitchen. This journey illustrates the power of developing thick desires, deeply rooted personal motivations that protect against shallow mimetic desires. Unlike thin desires, which are more intense and immediate, such as accumulating wealth or achieving fame, thick desires form gradually and deeply, like diamonds created under pressure, becoming resistant to life's volatility.
Naval Ravikant describes desire as a contract you make with yourself to be unhappy until you get what you want. Mimetic desire manifests as constant yearning to be someone else, cycling through models faster than clothes. Paradoxically, winning this game is how you lose. Every victory proves hollow. We must choose between living unintentionally mimetic lives or cultivating thick desires, even if it means suffering FOMO on mimetic objects. At life's end, we'll regret not pursuing thick desires, those worth pouring ourselves out for completely. Transformation occurs when we become less concerned with fulfilling our own desires and more concerned with others. In the end, wanting is another word for loving, and that, too, is mimetic. In our noisy world, voluntary solitude has become essential for discerning authentic desires. A silent retreat of at least 3 days, unplugged from noise and screens, works best, as the noise of everyday life typically doesn't recede until the 3rd day. By developing awareness of mimetic influence, creating boundaries with unhealthy models, establishing clear value hierarchies, and cultivating thick desires, we can achieve greater freedom. The path to wanting well isn't easy, but it may be the most important journey we ever undertake.